From the Mercy One Studio.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.
Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, confirm the mysteries of faith by the witness of the fathers, and wonderfully prefigurate our full adoption to sonship. Grant, we pray, to your servants that listening to the voice of your beloved Son, we may merit to become co-heirs with him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have a remarkable week. This is one of my favorite saints, Saint John Vianney. And Saint John Vianney, we call priest, humble man, great confessor, an amazing testimony of Christ's suffering as well.
Yeah, he was really a kind of living icon of the priesthood, and it's the reason his example continues to be be so significant even to this day. Very many of our younger priests lived their first part of seminary in a place called the Vianney House in Dubuque, and Bishop Loris himself helped moderate the Vianney House for many years.
So let me ask you one thing. How was your initial years at the seminary time?
Challenging in, I think, the best of ways. I was young and pretty immature and smart, but too smart for my own good, and so would get myself into trouble. there's a great connection, a great Iowa connection to St. John Vianney, because he and Bishop Loris were classmates, Bishop Loris being the first bishop of the state of Iowa, the one whom the college is named after. And Bishop Loris was in many ways more like me, right? He was very bright, very gifted, thought a lot of himself, and he had to fall down a lot. And it took somebody like John Vianney to show him what the holiness of the priesthood was really all about. There's a window over in the Basilica in Dyersville that was a gift from St. John Vianney to Bishop Loris on the anniversary of the ordination.
Wow. The why I mentioned this note for you, it's because the seminary time for St. John Vianney was a little bit challenging in terms of the Latin and received a lot of discrepancies, may I say
right.
That word, for the classmates and superiors as well.
I think one of the things that gets forgotten about John Vianney a lot is that because the pictures show him as this kind of sickly looking, weak guy, and he was pretty sickly because his health wasn't great and he fasted too much, but he was really extraordinarily tough. The reason he had the trouble that he did with Latin, I mean, he might have been dyslexic or something. We don't know that, right? But was because his education was interrupted, right? The French Revolution had destroyed most of, like, their life. Loris, who was a classmate of his, watched some of his family members get murdered for the faith. John Vianney certainly knew people that had gotten murdered for the faith. And the schools were shut down. The reason there was no way for him to learn Latin was because it was illegal for a while. So he was just way, 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 way behind by the time he ever started. And so he was in that uncomfortable position of a slightly older man whose youngers are better at things than he is because they had more chances, more opportunities.
How many associates do you have in your...
Oh, that's not a fair question to ask, Father. there are four priests that live in my house. Father Nick Stark, recently ordained, is my full-time associate. Father George, who's also the administrator at Carlisle, also helps out at Christ the King. And Father Jose Rinaldo also lives with us, and he works at Christ the King, but also at the Basilica and St. Anthony, as do I, to assist with the Spanish Masses.
And I bring that the point because St. John Vianney was driving by himself at a parish, and in a very remarkable manner, he identified himself as confessor, shepherd, and a humble servant of God. And to me, it's a very inspirational that whatever age, he's calling to be an servant of God in each moment. And for us, it's a very inspirational. And one of the beautiful icons that are back to my mind is in the right hand, the Holy Rosary, and the left hand, the crucifix.
That's right. That's exactly right. So those two images really marked the center of his own spiritual life. And so it's so important that we, too, cling to our Lord Jesus Christ crucified and the intercession of his most holy mother.
Iowa Catholic Radio. Be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. That's blessmaninternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610, or online, ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, Father Fabian, be not afraid. I find a very interesting connection between St. John Vianney, devotion, and a very self-denial through his ministry with the following celebration, the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, as a priest, we need to transfigure our human being to be more in a service, unconditional love to God as well through our ministry.
Right. So the whole sort of goal of the Christian life, right, is conformity to the image of Christ. That's like the whole package, right? And the image of Christ is manifest most perfectly, most directly for the disciples on that day on the mountain. And you know, both the text of the gospel and then the whole devotional and liturgical tradition of the church is very clear that he gives them this glimpse of his divinity in order to strengthen them so they can be stalwart throughout the suffering that his humanity is about to endure. And so so the Transfiguration, while it often gets kind of blown by as a secondary feast and sort of weirdly mentioned during Lent, and nobody seems to usually get why, is really kind of the heart of Jesus' own life and the way that we come to understand his identity, who he is, and therefore our identity, who we are in him.
Father, why we have this celebration on Thursday and not moving to the Sunday?
So the Feast of the Transfiguration is a feast of our Lord, and feasts of our Lord and our Lady will trump a Sunday of ordinary time if they fall on it, as happens with the Assumption in a couple weeks.
Okay,
but they you wouldn't move it normally from like a Tuesday to the following Sunday unless it was the feast of the of title for the place. I think it's worth saying, you know, the Transfiguration we often miss a lot here in the West, but in the East, it's one of the most common titles or names for monasteries.
Oh.
Something like half the monasteries in the Christian East are dedicated under the title either of Holy Transfiguration or Mount Tabor, which is the place where the Transfiguration happened, right? And the idea there is that monastic life is really intended to be a transfigured life. Its whole goal is by practice and devotion and long years of service to manifest that image of Christ, so that old monks in the Eastern tradition are called the beautiful old men. And the word beautiful, deliberately feminine there, right? Because they're not beautiful. They're ugly, like old men, gross, long beards, scaly, right? But the light sort of grows from within them. You can't help but be penetrated by them. And that's really the goal, not just for monastics, but for every one of us.
The best manner to understand the word transfiguration in the theological context, Father, is completely changing, or it's moving forward to better appearance. How we can understand transfiguration?
So the trans is the change bit, right? Like every other use of trans that we use, but the figura, right, figura. is the figure. It's not only like the face, but it's like the shape, or we might say the form of the thing. Now this is a little bit different because the trans word that most Catholics are most familiar with, right, is transubstantiation. Jesus's substance doesn't change in the act of transfiguration. Jesus is as much Jesus as he's ever been, but his appearance changes to show us what's really going on. It's much like what people get very excited about with Eucharistic miracles. It's when you catch a glimpse sort of behind the veil and are able to see things as they really, really are.
And also it's a resplendence, you know, it's something supernatural, a splendor expression from God's love and mercy present in your only begotten Son. The best manner to celebrate, any fasting for this celebration, or it's not?
So a small fast before this feast is very, very appropriate. And then a meaningful feast on the day is significant because the traditionally first fruits happen right about this time of year, right?
Correct.
So you're getting the first fruits of the harvest. And so you would eat, you know, here in Iowa, we might think of like those first tomatoes right off the vine.
Wow.
Right? Something that's really delectable and sweet, which sort of transfigures or transcends your own regular earthly experience.
It's very interesting. In the Russian Orthodox Church, honey, pears, apples, plums, and other fruits are brought to the church for blessing. This feast is also referred to as metamorphosis in the Easter Church.
That's right. The other piece here, right, is that this feast is paired intentionally relative to the Assumption of the Virgin here in not very long. And there is traditionally a fast that attends, kind of a mini Lent that attends just before the Feast of the Assumption. And so it would be a good thing, a pious practice. I'm not saying you have to or you're sinning if you don't, right? But a good pious practice would be to fast just a couple days before the Transfiguration, have a meaningful kind of feast on the Transfiguration, and then begin a fast that could extend up until the Assumption and then really blow it out with the Feast of the Assumption.
The Transfiguration also was another first fruits harvest feast, particularly of grapes and wheat. The Roman ritual has a blessing of grapes and blessing of the harvest for this feast.
That's exactly right. So, even just things in your garden, don't ever be afraid to bring stuff to the church to have the priest bless. Sometimes people bring strange things, and that's okay, but there is nothing that's a proper product of human life and ingenuity, and certainly nothing of the natural world that can't be brought under God's blessing.
Also would be beautiful to include in that day a special meal blessing by the parents and enjoy the family and a delightful celebration about that Transfiguration of our Lord.
That's exactly right. A couple of weeks ago was the feast on the Eastern calendar of St. Elijah, the prophet. And it's the tradition there to bless cars on that day. So there were pictures floating all around the internet of priests in the parking lot blessing cars with holy water. And then there was one picture of Bishop Milan, who's the Ruthenian bishop here in the States. The toy cars that children have? There were several of the children lined up in toy cars and the bishop coming by and blessing the toy cars too. So the kids, along with their parents, get to take their chariots up to heaven with Elijah.
Always the celebration of our Lord, like Transfiguration that we are talking about, it bring to us and a blessing and encounter with his presence. And he showed us that everything can transfigurate in love, mercy, and compassion, especially in this current very turmoil scenario around the world. Many discrepancies, many words, angriness, violence as well.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So the goal is really to live a transfigured life. Not simply be transfigured in our own appearance, but have the whole shape of our lives changed in light of Christ.
For this day, it is mandatory to pray the Gloria and the Creed as well, correct?
For the Mass?
For the
it's a feast, so there wouldn't be a Creed, but there would be a Gloria.
Okay.
But the liturgical niceties, those are just like signposts. They point us to, but the important thing, right, is that our attention is focused not only while we're at Holy Mass or saying the office or something, but all throughout the day on what God has done, that we might better see what he is doing still.
Approaching, ending our moment, let us move in into the next segment. Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Savage Power.
Would you like to get more involved as a volunteer? InterVisions Healthcare empowers at-risk women facing an unplanned pregnancy to make life-affirming decisions, but our nursing staff can't do it alone. Our unplanned pregnancy clinic seeks dedicated advocates, receptionists, and nursing volunteers to meet the needs of hundreds of at-risk patients we see each year. If you are a people person who wants to help moms with unplanned pregnancies, contact us today at 515-440-2273 or visit ivhcare.org.
The August Man Up West Power Lunch is Friday, August 13th at noon, St. Francis of Assisi in West Des Moines, with lunch provided by the West Des Moines Chick-fil-A and University. Deacon Mark Campbell will be discussing the Year of St. Joseph and the consecration to St. Joseph. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com.
Thank you, Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, for sponsoring my show, John Lee and Eddie in the Morning on Iowa Catholic Radio. Golden Rule, servicing Des Moines for over 15 years. They obey the rules to live by, especially the Golden Rule. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full-service print shop, ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. BigRedQ-DesMoines.com.
Thanks to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Every year, Blessman International leads teams of Central Iowans to share the compassionate heart of Christ with orphans and vulnerable children in South Africa. You can learn more and sign up for a trip at blessmaninternational.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Liturgical Institute, offering degrees, online certificates, retreats, and conferences. Learn about your role in the Mass and how you can be formed into the very likeness of God. liturgicalinstitute.org/Iowa.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio comes from Mercy One, your expert circle of personalized care for all your health needs. With more care locations than anyone, your best life is their one purpose. Find your doctor at mercyone.org.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. This coming Sunday, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 41 to 51. Could you please lead us, Father?
The Jews murmured about Jesus because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. For it is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. God offered his people abundant life, but we can miss it. What is the bread of life which Jesus offers? It is first of all the life of God himself. Life which sustains us not only now in this age, but also in the age to come. The rabbis said that the generation in the wilderness have no part in the life to come. In the book of Numbers, it is recorded that the people who refused to brave the dangers of the promised land were condemned to wander in the wilderness until they died. The rabbis believed that the father who missed the promised land also missed the life to come. God sustained the Israelites in the wilderness with manna from heaven. This bread foreshadowed the true heavenly bread which Jesus will offer his followers.
The murmurers in the gospel seem not especially interested in the breadness this week so much as they do in where it's coming from. Last week they were upset because of the language of bread. This week they're upset because Jesus is now identifying himself as come down from heaven. So what's really at heart here is not it's prior in many ways to any Eucharistic teaching. It's about the divinity of Christ. If Christ is God, then of course he can turn himself into anything he wants to. And of course he can feed people with anything from heaven. But if he's not God, then he can't do any of the things that he's saying. And the people that he's talking to are beginning to recognize he's not just claiming sort of authority from God or a mission from God or something like that. He's identifying himself with God, which is why they point back. Don't we know his parents? Well, no, actually you don't. That's the whole point, is that guy's not his dad. You just thought he was. And because the writer of the gospel knows that we know the whole story, he knows how we'll read that. And that there's a kind of a dramatic turn here, right? Jesus, in some ways unveils himself, at least in his words. And those who begin to realize what's going on don't mostly like what they hear.
Sounds a little bit intentional attitude from our Lord to show them, I am. So don't repeat it in your mind or keep in your mind that our ancestors do that. So I am the bread of life. It's a little bit discrepancy, may I say that?
Yeah, well, so even the use of the language here, the ego eimi, the I am statements, this is an abnormal formulation in Hebrew. This is not the ordinary way that you would speak, because it comes too close to saying directly the name of God as revealed to Moses. And so for Jesus to use that kind of language about himself and then say this outlandish thing about himself, that he's from heaven, when people think they know where he came from, this sort of can't be abided. And it pairs well. Like, the reason the church puts this gospel together with the first lesson from the Book of the Kings is because Elijah, who up until this point, you know, when you read the Book of the Kings, he could be working almost for any god, right? Like he's like a wizard type character, right? But here, Elijah is chased out of town and down on his luck and broke and hungry and tired, and he's ready to die. And God feeds him in the desert. God comes to him at his worst moment, and God reveals himself there to Elijah at the broom tree. Here, Jesus is revealing himself to the crowd, and much like Elijah, they're not altogether sure whether they want to be part of this, because they know it's going to make demands on them forever.
It's a fulfillment confirmation about the authority of Jesus Christ himself. I am the bread of life. More than egocentric is that declaration of authority and power as well.
That's right. You know, the psalm that we use, right, so often, but this weekend, taste and see, like, who God is not ultimately something that is simply cognitive or knowable in your brain. It's got to be known in your body, in the same way that your spouse or your kids or your parents, you know, the way they smell.
Correct.
And the way they feel and the tenor of their voice. And our relationship with God is intended to be so intimate that the transfigured Lord makes himself manifest preeminently in the Holy Eucharist, but that the Christ that we recognize there, we then can recognize wherever else he manifests himself, because we know him and not just the way that he makes himself present.
And this piece of the gospel back immediately in my mind to the Last Supper moment, you know, that institution of the Holy Eucharist with the declaration of love. Father, we end in our season today. Could you please give us your blessing?
May the Lord Jesus Christ, present in the Blessed Sacrament, on all the altars and in every tabernacle in the world, make himself known to you. And make your true self known as well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.